your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got clips to play and news to review and so forth, and what I'm going to start off with is one of the most important, I think, call-ins that Alex Jones experienced on InfoWars, and it's about Big Pharma and what is in these vaccines and so forth. It sounds like somebody that is part of the Big Pharma industry speaking, but he gets down to the bottom line of autoimmune diseases. And this is why this makes it very, very important. So here we go with this call-in, whistleblower call-in that Alex had a few days ago. Here we go now.
People are going to swell up like balloons, you know, with the additives that they're putting in this thing, sugar, sodium chloride, because it's being dosed in such a way that the actual serum that the vaccine's in, it contains less ingredients, but more concentration of the ones they're putting in. The salt, the vinegar. If you eat some salt and vinegar chips, you're going to start getting all kinds of digestive problems. You're going to swell up. You're going to notice your face starts to get, you know, some people are allergic to beer and stuff. All these allergies are going to start to pop up. And you're going to see it in the next 10 years or even sooner. It's going to start to happen.
Your body's going to start having an autoimmune response to these common things. It's going to become allergic to itself.
So, yeah, it's autoimmune. Your body becomes allergic to itself. Fauci's got his neck in the Moderna, all of it. I mean, he's making big money. This is a big money operation. Good, good. Hey, I wanted to touch on a couple of things here. I know you said Theranos, that's what dissolves these people. But I'd say Jesus Christ, I'd one up you on that. And I think, you know, you just got to call on Jesus Christ, man. And these people, they shake in their boots.
Well, I want to be a million, trillion, quadrillion, infinity clear. Jesus Christ is the only answer. I was saying politically, Theranos, the fraud computer PCR test system, basically, that said it could detect cancer and all these other diseases, was a fraud. The current PCR test is a fraud. The inventor said it's a fraud for this. And so the whole basis of this thing is a fraud. We need to point that out.
We're being played here. You should get Scott Jensen on your show, Dr. Scott Jensen. He's a very humble doctor, but he's been following this the whole time, and he's a very well-spoken man. You should look into him. But there's a couple things I wanted to mention about the vaccines. I actually work in vaccine research at one of the big companies. I'm not going to mention who, but it's one of the big ones. And something you guys need to look at, go look at the ingredient list. Now, most vaccines normally have 40 or more ingredients. And they're all toxic. These mRNA vaccines only contain maybe 10, but you have to look at five of the ingredients. Five or six are some of the most commonly consumed things in human nature, and I'll list them off: acetic acid, vinegar, sodium chloride, salt, table salt, and sugar. And then there's two or three commonly used preservatives. I mean, they are literally putting, I'm telling you, they're literally putting in the most common things you could think of. They want people to develop immune reactions. And it might not be initially, but it's going to happen over time where the body's going to end up going into, you know, developing Crohn's disease and all these different future allergies.
Yeah, what you just said is super, super important. So spend a few minutes here. Because you work in vaccine development. I don't just believe you. I know what you're saying is true. I've read a bunch of scientific papers about the mRNA. people are like, oh, this has less ingredients. But when that stuff is mixed with this protein that your body's going to learn an immunity to at the cellular level, statistically, large portions of people will start developing autoimmune responses to these common things that are already in the body, like the protein that it's teaching you to have a response to. So explain that to people.
Right. So it's very complicated, but particularly with the mRNA vaccines, what we have to look at is the spike protein that's being encoded. It is just a small snippet of one of the proteins that this virus makes, but it has epitopes like syncytin 1, which you know about. It's a protein found in literally almost all of our cells, but particularly in the placenta. And this protein, there's papers, research on this, and this comes full circle back to last February when that Indian university first published the genome. They sequenced the genome of this virus, and they found GP41, glycoprotein 41, and glycoprotein 120 in this virus. Now, these are surface proteins that help bind and help the virus recognize itself. These proteins were found. They're the two most important proteins in HIV. And so this is confirmation. Again, they confirmed that this is uncanny. This is unlikely to happen in nature. And it's a hallmark of gain-of-function research. But syncytin 1 is homologous to, it shares almost identical sequence with GP41 and GP120. And so when you see people getting with the AstraZeneca vaccine, for instance, which shares many similarities with the mRNA sequence that's being used in mRNA vaccine, when you're seeing people test positive for HIV, false positive, it's because their vaccine literally is homologous almost in this protein to HIV. So there's no question HIV is part of this virus. People say, well, this virus is fake. Well, no, there's a real coronavirus going around. It's a genetically modified version. Now, these autoimmune diseases you're gonna see it exponentially increase. But here's a crazy thing. Two more things. I have inside knowledge because, like I said, I work for one of the big boys in vaccine research. Pfizer's not giving the same vaccine to its employees that it's giving to the population, and I have that on record. Firstly. Secondly is Pfizer just announced that this new drug just got approved by FDA for, you're not going to believe this, Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is one of the symptoms that we're seeing, side effects that we're beginning to see in some of these patients, these older patients and stuff. And they know it's going to increase. Guillain-Barré doesn't set in initially, but it takes time. And it's just another proof and affirmation. Oh, what by approving another drug, a treatment for Guillain-Barré.
I can tell you, you're the real deal. You know what you're talking about. Come back because we're going to put a report out on this. I mean, what would you say? Vaccine whistleblower exposes dangers of COVID shots? Or we're going to come back because what you're saying is all true. It's what Wolfgang Ludarg, this EU advisory commission said. It's all there. How do they think they're going to get away with something on this scale? I'll ask you that, too. It's a real honor to be here live with you. I'm Alex Jones. I'll check him out as a whistleblower, and he'll come on, have him on as a guest, because he is a whistleblower. And what he's saying tracks. Did you just hear him earlier? He works for a big vaccine maker, one of the big ones, and he was breaking down all the issues, all the problems, and how this vaccine maker is not giving them the same vaccine the public gets. Well, you'd have to be informed to know that. That's actually true. It came out 15 years ago, and again about 10 years ago, even the London Guardian, that in China, Germany, the UK, and other, quote, nations, they're, quote, clean vaccines that are given to the elites and rich people. That was the headline, was government elites given clean vaccine. Click web and see if you can find that. Rich and powerful given clean vaccine. That was another headline. So what he's saying is absolutely true. And so, yeah, vaccines are real technology, folks. I'm not even against it if you have a cost-benefit analysis and there's something really bad out there and you want to, you know, learn. But it's the contaminants. Nobody had peanut allergies 50 years ago. They grew some vaccines on peanut protein, and you've got people dying if they eat one little piece of a peanut. And so now they stopped doing the vaccines on peanuts, so they don't have the problem in people now being born. So this is a big deal. That was a major bombshell you dropped. Tell us as much information as you can.
Yeah, Alex. So I mean, I can go into more detail.
You're saying you work for a big vaccine maker, and they told you, did they tell you that you're getting a clean vaccine?
Yeah, they told us that I have it on record, but, and I can, you know, get that excuse at some point. But I really want to emphasize, you know, people are going to swell up like balloons, you know, with the additives that they're putting in this thing, sugar, sodium chloride, because it's being dosed in such a way that the actual serum that the vaccine's in, it contains less ingredients, but more concentration of the ones they're putting in, the salt, the vinegar. If you eat some salt and vinegar chips, you're going to start getting all kinds of digestive problems. You're going to swell up. You're going to notice your face starts to get, you know, some people are allergic to beer and stuff. All these allergies are going to start to pop up, and you're going to see it in the next 10 years or even sooner. It's going to start to happen.
Your body's going to start having an autoimmune response to these common things. It's going to become allergic to itself.
So, yeah, it's autoimmune. Your body becomes allergic to itself. There's so many other things that people don't understand in the literature that are just something called cell bystander death, and this is very common, and it's being understood now in HIV. And again, we come back to HIV being Fauci's got his neck in the Moderna, all of it. I mean, he's making big money. This is a big money operation, and there's some things I can reveal to you at a later time. But another thing you need to understand is, well, we can go into that later, but I want you guys to take a look at, type in Google, Columbia University Vaccine Symposium that just went on this week. And it was kind of an invite-only thing that you had to be kind of in the vaccine industry to kind of get invited. But the videos are now public. They're about 2 hours. It started this Monday, and it ended today. Yesterday, Anthony Fauci spoke. They've had the World Health Organization representative speaking, World Bank, World Economic Forum. And it's basically this symposium this week trying to brainstorm and discuss ways in which this COVAX program, which is the UN or WHO's sort of program to get the vaccines to the – because what people need to understand is what they really want is, yes, they want the first world to get vaccinated and cause those problems. But they want the third world to get vaccinated, because these people – they're not as informed as us. They have their immune systems are less. They're much weaker. Like Americans and Western civilizations have.
Bill Gates was on Japanese TV a year ago, and they said, "We hear that you're putting steroids in." He goes, "He knows how smart Japanese are." He goes, "We're going to give you a different vaccine in the third world." He said that. He said, "We're doing different ones for different countries." And the Japanese husband, "Oh, okay, thank." Because they're all, you know, Japanese are very polite and very nice, but they're all about who's got the power. And they are not stupid, and they're all into secret experimentation, the same class thing, and so the Japanese. I mean, he just told them. He said, "Don't worry, we're not giving you that." Can you believe that? I mean, that is sick. They're giving the Africans and the Latin Americans really nasty stuff. People are like, "Well, Jones, aren't you worried about all the Africans coming here?" I don't want them brought here as weapons against me and brainwashed, but I want to kill them. That's bad mojo, man. I want to build up Africa and build up everybody. So yeah, we got to do something about this, brother.
Well, look into, you need, so day four, go look, have your crew look it up. But on day four, Anthony Fauci speaks. He kind of gives like an overview of the types of vaccines.
I'm coming in tomorrow to do a full day of work, and I'm going to do either a live show or a tape show at about 1 o'clock. I haven't decided yet. Because if it's a tape show, we'll tape at one and then add a bunch of videos and articles and air it like six at night. But a lot of us, we go live now on Saturdays. Will you come on commercial free? You can talk, like, you can send us exhibits. You want to show what symposiums, what videos. I'll have Rob Duke call you because he's obsessed with this because he's a good guy. He'll work 40 hours straight if he gets in this vaccine thing. He's on a quest. I'll get you on the phone with Rob Duke. You can send all your exhibits to him. I will come up here. We'll have them all ready, and we'll either go live or tape an hour with you tomorrow. You want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
They'll all be secret, obviously. But we already know everything you're saying is true anyways. You're just an insider, so you can help us get it right better than us, like, groping around the dark here. Talk, we kind of have a little light in the dark. You're a bigger light in the dark. We know where we are. We're just trying to get a clear picture of exactly what's going on. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock Central, I will call you 2 o'clock Eastern. Okay, deal?
Sounds good.
All right, guys, get his info.
Coming up next is Josh Hawley. They were quizzing Merrick Garland, who is being qualified by these committees for the Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General. And this is Josh Hawley asking Merrick Garland about the Portland courthouse and whether or not it would qualify as Domestic Terrorist Act when they were attacking it. Here we go now with that questioning.
Let me ask you about assaults on federal property in places other than Washington, D.C., Portland, for instance, Seattle. Do you regard assaults on federal courthouses or other federal property as acts of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism?
Well, Senator, my own definition, which is about the same as the statutory definition, is the use of violence or threats of violence in an attempt to disrupt democratic processes. So an attack on a courthouse while in operation, trying to prevent judges from actually deciding cases, that plainly is domestic extremism, domestic terrorism. An attack simply on a government property at night or any other kind of circumstances is a clear crime and a serious one and should be punished. I don't know enough about the facts of the example you're talking about, but that's where I draw the line. One is both are criminal. But one is a core attack on our democratic institutions.
It just seems like to me, whether the courthouse was closed or not, they interfered with it. They diminished the usability, the utility of that building for conducting court and so forth for the next day. And it was a sustained attack on the Portland courthouse. So I would certainly, you know, think that that would certainly qualify for domestic terrorism is, but you know, you get some funny ideas out here, and people come up with a lot of different kinds of opinions. And of course, you know, he's, you know, entitled to his views, but, I would take Josh Hawley's judgment and his views way, way over most people. Well, anyway, we've got an interview that Rand Paul had with Rachel Levine, and they're trying to qualify her for a position, an associate director. They're trying to qualify her for Undersecretary of Health and Human Services, and she has a very, very, well, it's not she, it's a he, I believe now, or whatever. I don't know. I'll get them all mixed up. She's a transsexual of some kind, but they're trying to qualify her to be an undersecretary or health and human services. And she has some very, 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 you know, far out views about transsexuals and transgendering and changing over your gender and things like that. And here's Rand Paul drawing her out on these, some of her ideas.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children. Most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, but as WHO notes, that by social convention, social norm, the social pressure to conform, to do what others do and have been doing, as well as the need to be accepted socially and the fear of being rejected by the community. American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor. I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breasts amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now. And this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness, except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard. Do you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem. None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them. We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who've been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex.
Now, Rachel Levine wouldn't answer the question because she's in favor of all of those negative, very detrimental things to young people. And young people just don't have the judgment at 3 to 10 years old. Are you kidding me? Or even older. Young teenagers don't have that judgment. So they're making decisions that only parents can make for them. The parents love them and care about them. And they're not going to make these detrimental statements. Coming up next is a speech that Matt Gaetz gave at the CPAC. It's a conservative, American Conservative Union meetup down in Florida. But Republican Matt Gaetz from Florida speaking now, pre-recorded, of course.
Hey! I haven't gotten that good a warm welcome since I was in Wyoming. My fellow patriots, don't be shy and don't be sorry. Join me as we proudly represent the pro-Trump America first wing of the conservative movement. We're not really a wing. We're the whole body. We're the main attraction in the greatest show on earth. It's our ideas that fill the stadiums with cheering fans. And while the establishment owns the think tanks, we're the ones doing all the thinking in the populist movement as conservatives. Turns out populism is popular, and everyone can see who the fakes and the phonies are and where we could find the real deal. A year ago at CPAC, I was the first Republican in Congress to swear off donations from federal lobbyists and political action committees. Their money is no good with me. Now, I can't say I started a movement. Not a single other Republican joined me. But it turns out I was ahead of the curve because the woke corporations turned around and canceled us. Many Fortune 100 companies will not donate to pro-Trump Republicans. Some have even pulled their sponsorships of this conference. American business should be worried about business, not wokeism. We gather here today in the shadow of Disney, a corporation that recently canceled its own founder, Walt Disney. Look out, Mr. Potato Head, you're next. I'm sorry, I think now he's going by Potato X. Can't be Mr. Potato. And see, to me, the whole concept of the Mr. Potato Head was he could move the parts around. I mean, Mr. Potato Head was America's first transgender doll, and even he got canceled. So while I stand alone in the House Republican Conference in my rejection of PACs and lobbyists, I am never alone when I stand with you, the great people of the greatest country that has ever existed. Now, unlike the left and even some Republicans, the America First movement will never sell out to foreign interests abroad or special interests here at home. Our citizens come first. Sorry, not sorry. Now, I'm a canceled man in some corners of the internet. I'm a banned man in the state of New Jersey. The governor literally said I was unwelcome. Many days I'm a marked man in Congress, a wanted man by the deep state, but every day I'm a Florida man and it is good to be home. Florida's like an amazing woman. Adventurous, beautiful, mostly sunny, sometimes a little crazy, and always here to encourage and support success. By contrast, New York is like a bad ex-husband. Mean, won't let you go out to dinner, you're less safe, financially spiraling downward, and they may kill your grandparents. Now, the fake news media and their allies in Silicon Valley made Governor Cuomo out to be some iconic cross between King David and Tom Brady. What a big lie that turned out to be. According to former aides, Governor Cuomo was offering to replace staff meetings with strip poker. Meanwhile, they were stripping Granny out of the COVID ward at the hospital and tossing her in the nursing home, just enough time to infect everybody and then go back to the hospital so that deaths could be recategorized for politics. How about freedom for young and healthy people, learning for students, opportunity for entrepreneurs? How about we ditch the lockdown governors like Cuomo and Newsom and Murphy and never ditch the American way of life and the American spirit? Now, speaking of all this bias, it was awful the way the media treated Ted Cruz. I mean, the left and the media were more worried about Ted Cruz going to Mexico to spend his own money than they are about the caravans coming through Mexico to take ours. The greatest threat to our liberty is big government, and the second greatest threat to our liberty is big business, and there is no bigger business than big tech. The flow of digital information impacts every aspect of our lives. If we win the debate but lose the internet, ours will be the last generation of American greatness. They'll open the borders, lock down our businesses, and squelch even the faintest whispers of dissent. And here's what I don't get. Leaders in both parties have no problem flooding the deserts of the Middle East with American cash and American blood over the mirages of democracies potentially emerging far, far away. But they won't lift a finger here in our country to do what is necessary to preserve our republic, and that is to ensure access to the digital world for everyone, regardless of their politics. Elon Musk calls Silicon Valley Sanctimonious Valley for a reason. And the terms of service on Twitter can never be more important than the values that undergird our Constitution. We need more than a legalistic definition of the First Amendment. We need a culture of free speech in America. Now, when big tech and big government team up, America starts to look more like China. And the Chimerica dream is shamefully a nightmare for our people. All technology means is doing more with less. When big government fuses with big tech, government only becomes more efficient at acquiring and centralizing power. Tyranny with greater ease and lower cost. Bill Clinton famously joked that China's attempt to control the internet would be like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. It turns out the Middle Kingdom has done even more nailing than the 42nd president. They even send their spies to nail some of our politicians. Conservatives rightly rail against the evils of socialism, yet the China model perhaps embodies something more dangerous, and we're heading in that direction. A captive capitalism, a corrupt linkage between business and government that enriches the elites and reduces the rest of us to interchangeable parts, just producers and consumers. And we should never let the virtue of disagreement and debate go away for the ease of clicks and memes. We were promised that technology would disrupt and democratize power. But what happens when all of the technology companies ultimately get the power and the government all at once? There are no checks and balances when they can control, alt, delete anyone for any reason. Now, in China, this means that the government assigns people a social credit score, where you live, where your children go to school, professional opportunities, access to government programs. It all depends on what government and tech think of you. Just look at what's happening in the Biden administration today, a revolving door with Twitter, Facebook, Google, Amazon executives rolling into the government to create a unified system. And maybe we would feel better if government was getting big tech's brightest. Sadly, we're not. Listen to how things have changed. Prior to social media in Silicon Valley, the most significant investor and customer was the Department of Defense. Our best minds worked on bombs and radar and stealth, often in partnership with DARPA. Jeff Bezos' grandfather was actually the number four person at DARPA. But as commerce moved online, the incentives for focused digital talent moved too. Today, America's sharpest minds are focused on memes, not munitions, likes, not lasers, ratios, not robotics, and hyperviral, not hypersonic. So are these social networks really making us stronger, safer, or do they just further addict us to our vices? Instagram for vanity, Twitter for wrath, Uber Eats for gluttony, and Tinder for lust. We need a renewed patriotic nationalism in America. In technology, that means let's get our best team together and go whip China. And in politics, it means let's get our best team together and go whip the establishment. Speaking of people who ought to lose primaries, if Liz Cheney were on this stage today, she'd get booed off of it. What does that say? The leadership of our party is not found in Washington, D.C. You are the energy. We are America. That's why they're in the 8 square miles of Washington, D.C., and we're here in the Sunshine State of Florida. Now, Trump may not have drained the swamp all the way yet. So if you want to finish the job, maybe hire a Florida man. We've drained swamps before. We faced down the alligators and the pythons and the lizards and mosquito as big as grapefruit. America needs real fighters today, maybe now more than ever, and we must win, for we have a country to save. And so come fight with me. Go to mattgaetz.com, join our America First movement, and let's go get them.
Coming up next is Alex Jones expounding on these code transfers, these launch code transfers that 30 representatives in the House have signed a letter that they want to open up to committee to decide about these launch codes and how to launch nuclear against. It just doesn't make sense. It's too risky, and we just can't ever do anything like that. And it would violate the separation of the branches. The protections there would be gone. In other words, it's the legislative takeover of the executive on the launch codes on nuclear commander in chief. So it's an encroachment upon the executive branch. So it just doesn't make sense. But here's what Alex had to say about it just recently.
Brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Nancy Pelosi has officially asked the puppet president, Joe Biden, to transfer to her and the Democratic Party the nuclear launch codes. It's the 24th of February, 2021, on this Wednesday evening. I was about to pack up and go home to see my wife and family. And I saw the news story and couldn't believe it, so I went to the congressional website, I checked the signatures, I checked the Twitter accounts, and it's true. Nancy Pelosi, through her surrogates and a long list of members of Congress, has sent a letter to Joe Biden, who will sign anything she puts in front of him, to transfer the nuclear codes to her and a group of congressmen and women, as well as the attorney general. Now, obviously, if Russia or China launch a nuclear attack, it's the president, the executive branch, the Constitution that has the power and the responsibility to defend against that. And you can't have a long deliberative process of going to Congress and going to the attorney general and getting this whole laundry list of people to sign off on whether it's legal. We don't elect the attorney general of the United States to say if launching a nuclear attack is legal. We elect the commander in chief to be over the military, and that's who decides that. If we're going to have a declaration of war and go to war with the country, that's Congress. But in an emergency capacity, if America has been attacked, that's the modern world, it is the policy of this country and other countries that the chief executive of the armed forces deal with that threat. To follow this would be to invite a first strike by Russia or China. So to have Pelosi doing this after 5-6 years, before Trump even got elected, of saying he is a Russian agent for 5 years at least. We've been hearing this. And then to see them do something like this is just incredibly dangerous. You've got to read the letter that a whole list of members of Congress signed on to. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the leader of the Senate, Chuckie Schumer, have not hidden the fact that they are the ones behind this. In fact, back on January 8th, last month, before Trump was already gone from office via their election fraud, they went to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had a conversation about taking the nuclear codes away from the president. So you can call Trump a dictator all day. You can call Biden a dictator all day. But if you transfer military operations to Congress, it's unconstitutional. It's insanely dangerous because then you can't respond to an outside foreign threat. This is simply amazing. Go read it for yourself. It says right here on the second page that a consortium of bureaucrats and lawyers will be in control, and that the attorney general will confirm whether it's legal or not. Well, how does the attorney general know international law or the rules of war or U.S. nuclear engagement policy? This is a true coup over the executive branch, over our military, in over 250 plus years of this nation's existence. No one on the planet, from France to the UK to Russia to China to Israel, has their Congress or their Knesset or their parliament in control of the deployment of nuclear weapons or any other weapons. But this is the bureaucratic lawyer desire for power. And we know that Communist China, working through their agents like Eric Swalwell, who's been penetrated by literal sex operatives, are the ones that ran the second impeachment and are the ones that have been threatening to use nuclear weapons on American gun owners, and we don't submit to them. So this is clearly China trying to use their operatives like Joe Biden, who has said, hey, I am more than happy to let China invade Hong Kong. I'm more than happy to have China have death camps. And so they know that he and his son are totally compromised. And now they're going to use congressional pressure to have them come to Biden and start transferring the power illegally to them. So Biden must be removed. Pelosi must be removed. This just shows what allowing this bureaucratic coup has done, what the election fraud has allowed. Now they say their main mission is war with American gun owners. Now they say they want a civil war to re-educate us. And they're literally on the tit of the Communist Chinese. Hollywood's literally owned by the Communist Chinese. And so many members of Congress, from Dianne Feinstein to Swalwell, are on their payroll. And this is now the point we've gotten to, where the Attorney General and the Secretary of State and the Vice President and the Speaker of the House and a panel of members of the House and Senate will decide when we use nuclear weapons.
Next coming up is Dan Bongino speaking at the CPAC, American Conservative Union, today in Florida. And boy, he takes Jim Acosta to the floor. I tell you what. It's about time somebody took him down. But here we go with Dan Bongino. And he's one of the owners, stakeholders or stockholders in Potter, I believe. He's a fine person. He speaks up with force and deliverance and truth. Here we go now with Dan Bongino.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. I don't get out of my house much. So it's interesting, I was telling my wife on the way up, we work from home, we do the show from home, and it's a really kind of peaceful, calm, sedate environment. We're at like a zero energy level outside of the show all day, and then when we leave, we get immersed into this crowd of patriots, and it goes to a 99.6, and it's so overwhelming. You make my emotional cup runneth over, so thank you very much. You all are the best. And listen, before we get started, I can't in good faith start this speech without saying a big thank you to the godfather of the conservative movement in modern times, the now too soon departed Rush Limbaugh, just a hero in our time. You know, folks, it's not just that, as some of you may have heard me say on Fox, but I'll say again, it's not just that Rush was the best player in the game. It's that he was the best player in the game for his entire time in radio. And he invented the darn game. Like the game is, you know, Mickey Mantle didn't invent baseball. Rush did. And I would never be here without Rush Limbaugh. Sadly, I'm going through kind of a similar fight, you know, now. You know, we'll be okay and everything, and I appreciate everyone's wonderful wishes. Your positive energy and prayers are just infectious. Thank you. They are. But I can tell you, and I'm sure many people in this room have been through that and some sadly worse, but it really does change things. And it's almost been a blessing. They say, gosh, that's weird. No, it's not. You really see things more clearly. See everything more clearly. Things you thought mattered don't matter anymore. You know, I was telling my wife when I came home from the hospital in New York and we didn't know how severe this condition was going to be. I remember driving by this area that hadn't been built yet in Florida. It was still under construction. And I always thought to myself, gosh, I'll live long enough to see what goes there. And, you know, I didn't really have that answer that week. And your attachment to things just changes. But I'll tell you one thing that's really like laser focused my attention on all of this is, you know what matters more than anything? Ladies and gentlemen, all the rest is BS. What matters more than anything is the fight right now, and there is no more time to sit down on our knees and cry and do this victim stuff because we lost. That stuff is over. All of everything else is bullshit. I'm sorry. Right now, the fight is all that matters. You have to understand that. I love everyone in this room. I know you're all here for the right reasons, because you believe in liberty and freedom and patriotism and the greatest country in the history of humankind right now, in the greatest state in the country, by the way, Florida. I get that. You get that. But it's not enough. There are a lot of folks out there who are really beat up. I get it. I get it. Election night and the days later were devastating. Anyone telling you otherwise is full of it. Was devastating. But there's no more time for that now. None. It is up to you as evangelists for the cause to go out there and get everyone off their knees. Get everyone out of bed. Dust off. Get off the mat. There you go. Get the dust off. Stand up and get back in the fight now. There's no more time. The left, right after the election, it's a fact. You may not like them, and I certainly don't like their ideas. But right after the darn election, what were they doing? They were out there in their pink hats in 2016, marching the next day. They were. You saw it. I get it. A lot of us are beat up and are down. We lost a great advocate for the cause in this election, President Trump. But he's not done. You're not done. And listen to me. There is no done. There's no done. Forget the, take done, throw done out. There's no done. Get immediately back up and get back in this fight tomorrow. Everyone. There's no time for this BS. None. You know, I think about this great quote from Aeneas all the time. You know, a victor is not victorious. Remember this. Tattoo this on your brain. A victor is not victorious until the vanquished considers himself so. Are you vanquished? You're damn right you're not vanquished. Everybody has to get up. You're not vanquished until you consider yourself defeated. I don't care if we lose every single seat in the House and Senate. If we are 0-535. If we don't have a single person on the Supreme Court and lose every election nationally. If one of you in this room does not consider themselves vanquished, you are not. You're not. You're not. It's the time for feeling sorry for ourselves is done. And I'll tell you why. We are right. We are on the right side of this. Believe it. Be proud of it. Stand up and fight for it like your expiration date is around the corner. There is no time to waste. It's not a matter of, you know, what I think. It's a matter of what you are doing. Thoughts are great. Thoughts and talk. I do a talk show. Talk is great. I love it. I live to speak to you every day on my show. I love it. But it doesn't mean squat if it doesn't motivate you to do something. Pick a candidate in a primary. We've got a hell of a lot of rhinos out there, folks. I'm really sorry. The Democrats are next. That's 2022. But primary season starts now. It started yesterday. You're a day late. No more complaining about the rhinos. We got them. Get them out. Go. We're not going to miss you. Please get lost. I was talking to someone backstage. That guy right there in the seersucker. Sorry, dude. Didn't mean to point you out. Nice guy, by the way, with a cool suit on. I love that. And what did I tell you? I was talking about the 80-20 rule. 20% of the Republicans do 80% of the work. Right? Unbelievably, all 20% are here at CPAC right now. Right? We're done with the 80-20 rule. Let's make it in this election the 50-50 rule. And then let's make it the 80-20 rule the other way. That 80% of the party actually believes in ideas that are right. We are on the right side of this. Folks, you know, when I love to talk about issues, taxes, healthcare, school choice, my bread and butter. I love it. It's all great. I could talk about Milton Friedman till the cows come home. But the hard reality is there are more pressing issues right now. You know, having been obviously an investor and promoter of Parler, Rumble, and other parallel technology platforms, well, thank you. And more ahead, by the way. I'm a doer. I'm not a talker. I talk for a living, but I do stuff because the do matters. The do changes the world. Talk is great. The do matters. I'm just telling you, those issue fights are fantastic, and I love them, and I will talk them to death. But the hard reality is the fight right now is for the very fabric of this country. That's not a joke. That's not hyperbole. I am not kidding. These people are playing for keeps. Make no mistake. William Wallace in the corner over there. They, look at horse blinders, everyone. They are not kidding. They want you silenced, bankrupted, fired from your job, embarrassed, humiliated, and in the case of Donald Trump, they want him in prison. This is not a joke. Just put it in your search engine, just not Google. You will see it yourself. The tax fight is one we have to wage. The healthcare fight, school choice and regulations. But how are you going to wage it if we can't speak? How are you going to do that? Listen, when I was a kid in college, maybe not a kid, a young adult, whatever, I had a bumper sticker on my car. Not kidding. It said, question authority. I thought that's what we did here in the United States. I thought that's what we did, right? We respectfully question authority. And sometimes, sadly, throughout our history, we couldn't do it respectfully because they didn't respect us back. What happened to that? Where are our friends in the ACLU and our liberal friends who may disagree with us, but who, in the past at least, historically were the ones who fought against government spying and things like that? Where'd they all go? It's just us now. It's just us now in this room. And I'm really sorry to tell you that. Sometimes I get like choked up even thinking about it. It's just us. You're the real renegades now. Everyone in this room. You're the misfits. You're the new hippies. You're the renegades. You are. Damn right. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to go down, then we're going to go down fighting. You want to cancel us off Twitter? We'll start Parler. You want to cancel Parler? I'll start Parler too. You want to cancel Parler too? I'll start another platform after that. You want to dump a server farm? I'll buy a server farm. You want to shut down a cloud support? I'll start a cloud company too. You want to do DDoS stuff? What do you want? Anybody? I'll do it all. Payment processors? Shit, I'll start a bank with you if you want. I will start a, whatever you want. If we have to split this country's economy in half because we will speak and we will not be silent, then damn it, we will do it in this room with the real misfits and renegades sitting in this room right now. Because you will get nothing. You will get nothing from these conformist lemmings on the left and these media buffoons who are the useful idiots of our time. You will get nothing from them. Expect nothing, and you will never, ever be disappointed. Ever. I saw someone told me Acosta was running around here. You expect him to tell you that? I don't even know this guy. I don't even care. You expect them at CNN to tell you the truth? This is hilarious. They want Fox deplatformed for, get a load of this one. This is joke time, okay? They want for disinformation. Fox. They want Fox to be, that's the pee-pee tape network. They promoted the pee-pee hoax. The collusion. They want Fox to be, are you kidding? Like, what planet? This reminds me, right? You ever watch Seinfeld? I use this analogy all the time. Remember the Seinfeld episode where George, he does everything backwards and it works out for him? That's the world we live in right now. Everything's backwards. CNN is calling out right-wing media for disinformation. These were the guys. The building was burning in a riot. And they're like, all good here, folks. Nothing to see. It is a peaceful Hey, dude, get the fire extinguisher. Your jacket is up. I'm just, it's a peaceful protest, folks. This is the same network. You had Rachel Maddow on TV for 3 years talking about how Donald Trump was colluding with Russia, only to we find out later that her buddies at the Lincoln Project had the ties to Russia. Or the Lenin Project, we should call it maybe, right? The Vladimir Lenin Project. You didn't hear any about that. But they want us deplatformed for disinformation and misinformation. Don't forget what I'm telling you. You are the real renegades. You're the misfits, man. You're the new hippies of our time. You're the counterculture revolution right here because you actually want to talk. And you know what? You want other people to talk too. You know why? There's nothing I love more than going on Hannity with Geraldo. I love it. It's the greatest day of my life. Everything. I look forward. I go, God, thank you. Please bring on her. He's a nice guy. It's not personal. I mean, but he doesn't know anything. So I love it. Why do you not want liberals to talk? Just let them talk. They humiliate themselves every time. When I got involved with Parler, I'm like, issue liberals money to come on Parler. We had a bounty. Please come on. We love when you say your stupidity on our platform so we can expose it. But they don't feel the same way. You know why? They're scared. They're scared because we are right. I only got 25 seconds. I told her I've messed with the lady backstage. I'm like, half hour minimum. Just kidding. I will wrap it up. Close to on time. Nice lady backstage. She said she'd tackle me if I went at the 50 minutes. I'm just going to end with it because it's important. Leave here tonight with your chest out, proud. You are the renegades. You are the misfits. You are the real fighters. You're the one that matters. And don't make no mistake as you leave. You are on the right side of everything. Free speech, the freedom to protect your family, the freedom to assemble, to make your own money, to save your own life through your health care, and to get your kids in a good school. That is you. You are on the right side of this. Be proud. Say your prayers. Thank the Lord Almighty. You are on the right side of history. Amen. Thank you all.
Yes, that was Dan Bongino. You know, he's a man, and he knows where he stands. And when he speaks his mind. He's forthright about what he believes in. He believes in God and everything else. But we have these people like Rachel, you know, Levine, that want to change genders and all this other stuff. We've just got a really mixed up country today. But to even consider them for Undersecretary of Health and Human Services, my gosh, you know, where are people coming from? The population out here not going for that, the general population. We're not going to accept these things like this. When Bongino speaks and Matt speaks earlier, Matt Gaetz, and Rand Paul was trying to make sense out of this, and Josh Hawley. These are the people on the conservative Republican side, and they really want to do the right thing and try for everybody. So they're not just working, you know, for an insider group within the Republican Party. In fact, Matt Gaetz does not take PAC money at all. And Josh Hawley, he's got a wife and 3 children and just really a fine person, a forthright person. He speaks the truth and he's forthright. These are these great Republicans that are speaking up for what we should do on policies and laws and so forth. And then they send them over this COVID. We haven't even covered today. This COVID bill that's over 1,000 pages long nobody ever reads. Anyway, okay, good night. Thank you very much for listening.